Accession number 3 out of 651, Mr. Bill Ralston, Real 8. Now, you weren't on this bit long, you know.
No.
So then you were, what happened then?
I then got moved on, picked up in a Jeep. I was told you're going to 15 locating battery. I suppose I'll see a month, 3 weeks.
Oh, well, then let's just a bit more about that then. What about the food? You started mentioning the food. What was
food was okay. We had a regimental cook who was cooking the grub. Plentiful. I believe they used to go and draw the stores from a big ring of lorries, right? And they used to drive around and they'd say they had 8 men or 10 men they were catering for, 30 men or whatever. And they would then give them the rations, like, for 30 men. If it was bread, they'd 30 men, like, eat, I don't know, say 10 loaves. And they'd go round every couple of days. So it was really good food. Eggs, plenty of eggs.
And it was British-style food?
No, American. American-style.
Was it any different? I mean, do you notice much difference in what they were getting?
No, it was the biggest thing you noticed that the food was better than what you'd been getting in UK or Germany. Well, UK, not Germany, I don't suppose. And then sometimes you would get sea rations, like the stuff in the tin. Corned beef hash was one, frankfurters and something else, like, you know. Only a little tiny tin, I suppose, not much bigger than that cup. Another time they might give you the sea rations with in a brown box, cardboard box, and it'd have perhaps a tin, some bits of peaches or bits of pineapple, fruit and stuff like that. Be toilet paper in there.
C stands for what? Compo or?
Yeah, compo rations. Yeah.
Now, what were you living in during that 3 months?
In hole cutting the side of the hill, and it'd be the front of it would be done with ammunition boxes. Invariably, they'd have a small like hole for a window and a doorway. You had no door, you had a blanket to hang out across the door, like for in case there was a light on in there or something. Of a night and let keep the wind out, and if you had a light, a candle or something, right, or you'd stop the light from shining. And then another thing we used to have when the weather got cold, we used to have a petrol jerry can on the top of the roof of the bunker, and it used to have a piece of rubber hose.
And that wouldn't be then, though, would it? That would be later.
That was later.
You're coming up to summer.
Yeah, I'm saying.
We'll save that then, because that would be when you would. So, anything else about that first 3 months? Because that,
a couple of months.
A couple of months, yeah. Did you ever come under shell fire?
Yep.
What was that like? Was it shell or mortars? Mortars back?
Yeah.
Or was it both?
You get everything coming in, sort of fashion. And it didn't have a regular pattern, right? You know, with us, if we got 5 rounds gunfire, you would get 1, 2, 3, 4, a pause, 1, 2, 3, 4, but there's, you might get one, and you get no more. Very erratic. And then, and other times, you might get 20, 30 of them coming in, like, and ours was, it would be all the same type of gun, predominantly, like, going out, but there you'd get a smaller one and a big one, like, you know, at the same time. They didn't seem to have artillery regiments as the UN had. Like there was some really big stuff, and if there was a major problem going on, you'd get everything opening up, like, you know, to give support.
And what was it like the first time you got shells onto your camp area?
Frightening. Literally terrifying. No, it was a later date I got caught on a roadway with it. It just was frightening, like, you know, you'd get your nut down as best you could. Just take as much cover as you can until you were given orders, like, you know, to open our fire from our own stuff, like, you know, and then people would then all get brave and all get bravado, like, and all out trying to do one another. I'm not frightened, you're not seeing me frightened, but you really were frightened. There's no good saying you weren't. Then from there,
so after anything, any incidents happened there that you remember? Or I know it's not the bit you remember best, is it?
No, well, I can remember a couple of them, like, that they were given so many rounds of gunfire, like, and one of the bombs, like, it went out and it went 20, 30 yards away. Now you've got that sitting there, like, and there was a procedure, like the army procedure, like, you know, you give it so long, or you do this and you do that, and keep your head down for so long, right, in case it does go off it. And the first time I ever saw that, I thought, sod this, I'm not going near there, like, you know, absolutely terrified of it. But after a while, it was happening so much that people got blasé with it, I would say, like, you know, it's just got dropped short, like, you know, we'll get rid of it in a minute. And so it became a thing that, oh, it's over there, leave it there, and we'll deal with it later, like, when we've finished this stand to, like, when we get stand down, and they'd sort it out then.
What was stand to like? Did you have it every morning and night? Or?
Yeah, we'd have it every morning, but in the artillery, they would call a stand to, like, and take posts, I would say, like, you know. It used to be take posts, and that means you're gonna fire, like, or probably get a target.
So you go to your gun, your mortar, and stand about waiting to do your ammunition drop.
Yeah, you'd take posts that would be shouted out. You'd get to the pit light and you get all ready, and people would be saying, oh, so-and-so and the old light, why don't they hurry up and stand us down or let us do something, like, you know. And you might even stay there for 10 minutes, quarter of an hour, and they'd stand down, like, you know, or another time is being there and three rounds gunfire, like, and it's as quick as that. It didn't have a set pattern. It was, I suppose it was okay.
What about latrines in that or do you remember them better later?
I remember that better later.
Should we move? So why were you moved?
Don't know. I think because they said to me, by this time I'd had a driving test.
Now, when had you done that?
I think that was in Germany. Yeah, that would be in Germany. I'd had a driving
test.
On
the lorry?
Yeah. And I just said that I was confident enough. Like, it was just a sergeant or an army officer give you a test.
So you qualified as a driver?
Yeah. And then they said to me, do you know the phonetical alphabet? So I said, yeah, most of it. So I said, oh, that's good. You're now a driver radio operator. So
had you had any other wireless training at all?
No, none whatsoever. I didn't even know the first thing about it. So I said, oh, that's all right. I said, that's okay, but in the 1939-45 war, you had a life expectancy of 24 hours. Oh, that frightened the perishing daylights out of me. But what it was, I then got transferred to 15 locating battery. I spent one night in.
Now, where were they? They were nearby, were they?
Yeah, only just up the road. Just there was a camouflage road, and they were just like the good side of the camouflage road. That was okay, and then they.
Now what made up the 15th? That's not a usual. Well, it might be there, but people don't know what that would be. What would it be?
It had a section of microphones put up in the hillside, and they were connected up with wires, and then they had a forward OP. They were connected up to this forward OP, and the microphones were then also connected up to the HQ block, our HQ camp encampment. And there was a lot of guys in there who were brains, like, you know, they were surveyors, meteorologists, weather experts and all that, and they done everything by sound waves. And the reason they had a lot of these weather people, the atmosphere changes so quickly and they could tell all that. And then they also had the OP section, who were usually on the wrong side of the hill, not the blunt side, like the sharp side.
So the sound locating would be on the blunt side?
Yes. It was set up so as, but we had to hear the target fire, like, you know, and we would then get a compass bearing.
Did you know how it worked at all?
No, not until when I went there. It was just, you're there and you've got somebody there with you in the OP, like, to
we'll come back to that then when we talk about it in more detail. So that was the sound locating side. Then there was the OP side, was there?
Yeah, that was all part and parcel of it. They worked hand in glove, like the men in the OP and the microphones and the HQ headquarters, like, you know.
So there's no P section?
No.
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 So it wasn't divided up into anything?
No, it was just, after that there was eight of us on a hill, and it was a 24-hour thing, you know. And
what I mean is, normally a battery has bits making up it. It has troops and the rest of it. There's no sound locating troop, no OP troop.
It was just us. We were part and parcel of the sound ranging battery, you know. We were just.
So who else was in it? I mean, how big a unit is the battery?
Oh, massive. I think we had A, B, C, D, and I think there might have been E, sections of microphones.
So there were, so that's how it was split up. There were four or five sections of sound ranging with OP built in.
Yeah. They what you would hear, you'd hear a Chinese gunfire. The best way I'll describe it, you would hear that fire, you immediately took a bearing of where the sound came from.
Now, how would you do that?
We've had a compass. And then you would.
But how would you know where it was?
Well, you'd have a rough idea. Like, you know, if a bang went off there, so you'd fix this thing, get a bearing of it, and that was. This is the thing you've got in your mind. You then timed the time of flight, you'd hear it go bang there, and then you'd hear it crash somewhere. Time of flight, 10, 15 seconds, or whatever it would be. You'd give that. And then once you'd heard it bang, the initial bang, you press the button. This would switch on the microphones, and they would then get the second bang where it landed. They would then pick up that sound, and then this used to come back into the command post, and they had machines where like an ECG machine, what you have now, and it would make all these series of lines. We would say we've got a shell report to them, got 1-8 Baker shell report, over. And then they would send us your shell report, and then you would give them the bearing, time of flight, and what have you. Then they would collate all this graph, what we'd give them, and they would know exactly where that was fired from. And then they would then, perhaps if something which is worthwhile them destroying or having a go at, they would then get in touch with an artillery unit from British or Commonwealth. They would give them the target area, and now they would say to us, just report to us, shot. Time of flight, 15 hours or whatever it was, 15 seconds, 18 seconds. They knew the time of flight of that. And then we would then press our button, and the microphones would then pick up. If they'd give 15 seconds time of flight, we'd press our button at, say, 10 seconds. So as it's all on, everything's up and running. And then it would then get the sound of that target, that shell going off, landing, and they could then work out in that HQ whether you destroyed it or not. And there was maps of the countryside all over the place. And
what, at the headquarters or at the OP?
No, at the headquarters section.
Well, tell me about the OP section first, or the OP group. So you were in one. Do you know which one you were in, or which?
Just anyone. Like,
would the OP be made up of?
Well, itself. It's just an hole in the ground.
So you have the microphones nearby?
No, they could be quarter of a mile apart, 200 yards, another one. And they would be set in an arc, so as the sounds would reach them differently, like, you know. And they were all connected up with wires. So now, at times, these wires would get broken. Like from enemy shell fire, could be a truck going over them or whatever. They'd try to put them up on a hillside where the least damage would happen to them. And now, when that one of them, so now it's out of commission. So they're then going to send two line parties out, one from each end, one from the OP section, and one from the HQ section, to be checking the wires. And sometimes you just get it and give it a pull. You know, if it's 20 yards away, like it's busted there, like. So and then you find the two ends, repair them, and just come back. They knew straight away when they'd been repaired. And you get in contact with a radio message, like, the line's in working order now, go back to your base, like, you know, and you'd come back.
So you've got an OP, there's a hole in the ground, you've got an arc of microphones.
Yeah.
What equipment, and you talked about the repairing of the lights, what equipment would you have in the OP itself, you know, this hole with you? Wireless, I presume.
Wireless, yeah.
And who would be operating now?
Any one of us.
What sort of wireless was it? I mean, I think was it one of the portable ones? Or?
Yeah, it was a portable, not like they have now. Like, I think it was either nine. But there was two we had. One was a 19 set. I think that was the light one, and the 32 set was a heavy one. Like, and that was it.
And what was it like to operate? Because you were meant to be a wireless operator.
It was just as long as it was on station, you had no worries. You had an handset and headset sort of thing, and you had a little switch. I think it was called a pressure switch, and you push the switch to speak, like, you know.
So it really was no bother. You didn't have to know Morse code or
anything. Oh, no, 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 no. I don't suppose any of us
it's
would.
It's more like using a telephone, though.
Yeah.
So you had that. Any other equipment in your OP?
No, there was... you'd always have a bring gun down there. Plenty of ammunition.
Now, who would operate that?
Any one of the guys who were in there. But, you know...
So who would be there? I mean, there's you. You're the driver operator.
Yeah.
Who else is there?
In
the OP. I don't mean in the unit. I mean, you know, when you've got...
There'd be one of your oppos, right? You know, you sort of teamed up with someone.
So there'd be another of
Yeah. If it was a bit naughty, perhaps they might even cram three of you in there, like... And the others, we had a bunker on the better side of the hill. That had a radio. That had the big radio in.
Now, who would run that?
Any one of us.
So what would be in the headquarters?
In the big headquarters at the back, big table. When I say a big table, it was big for that type of area. Several radios. The big table had maps of the countryside. We had different units. They had a board up with different units on. Call signs. Things like that. I only spent a couple of days in there and I was on the radio then. And... we got a target, and I didn't know this business about shot and time of flight from the artillery. And they kept saying to me, shot, shot, and because I'd been at the other end all the time. And I said to this sergeant who was there, I said, there's some idiot here. I said, he keeps saying shot to me. So he said, that's every minute, every time they're firing. He said, why didn't you report it? I said, well, no one's ever told me. I'll report that to you. So he said, all right, just forget it. Tell them to stand down, right? And we didn't know whether we'd landed anything or landed it on our own troops or what. It was very unlikely. But
so you hadn't been trained at all in this role?
Not on the job training. That was all it was, sort of fashion.
Now, so you joined this unit, and they're in the same area, quite nearby. Mm-hmm. And what was it? Where were you living with them? I mean, you'd have your own bunker, would you? Or?
Yeah, we're just stuck up in the hillside sort of thing.
And was your bunker the same as the previous bunker? Not much.
Yeah, no, they were all the same. A lot of them had logs on the roof, and then they put big stones on top of that, and then filled them in with... sandbags, anything to make it reinforced, sort of thing. You had a bed. You made a bed with barbed wire pickets.
And tell me about that.
He knocked four 3 foot pickets into the ground, four of them, then got 6 foot long one and strapped it to, so your bed was now 6 foot long. You put a 3 foot one at the foot, another one at the head, and then got a load of signal wire and kept running it to make it, crisscross it, to make it sort of a wire mesh effort, and then put your sleeping bag on top of there. So you were sleeping off of the ground because the wall was then quite static sort of thing. Like, you know, they were...
How else would you improve your bunkers?
With the... When the cold weather came...
Because if you moved it, you must have gone about July to 15th locating, if you got there in about April. So you'd be there 4 or 5 months before it got cold. But tell me about, how did you heat the bunkers when the cold did come?
You had a jerry can on top of the roof of the bunker, and it had, I think they got the Remy to solder a little metal pipe sticking out the bottom. Like the lower end of the thing, and it had a rubber pipe coming down, go into your bunker, had an ammunition box with holes made in it, half filled with sand, and then there was a metal pipe with a Jubilee clip going into the rubber pipe, and you then had two little plates, one at the bottom and one at the top, I'm sure there was two, and they had like a screw thing, so as it would, you tighten it down and it would squash the rubber pipe, and it would then stop the flow of petrol into the can. But the only thing was, once you lit it in the jerry, in the ammunition box, and you would get, they'd make a chimney coming out of there to take the fumes out the bunker, and if the petrol had to burn as quick as what it was coming in, because if it wasn't burning, if it was coming in too quick and it wasn't burning, it would then fill up to the holes which are in the side, out over the thing, and the bunker would be a fire sort of thing, like it would be blazing, Mariel in fire in there, and you know, you didn't want that being shown up like the night sky with a fire on.
Did it ever happen to you?
Yeah, to a guy was coming home, and I said to him, he lived about half a mile away from London to where I lived, and I said, can you take a letter home to me mum and one to me girlfriend, like, I said, give it all to the girlfriend's one to me mum. He said, yeah, write it out tonight. He said, and I'll get it in the morning. So when he came in, he said, want me to light a fire? I said, yeah. And he lit it, and of course, I'll give him the two letters, and I'm snuggled down in my sleeping bag. And all of a sudden, the room was ablaze, and we were out the door, and the guy I was bunking down with, he saw daylight coming in through the window, and he's trying to get through this little window. And there's no way he was going to get through the window, I sort of think. And anyhow, we both got out all right, but all our kit was lost. But that was soon replaced, like, you know. When I was in that sound ranging unit, locator and battery, we went absolute months without a bath. All we had is a wash and shave.
How did you wash and shave? I mean, did you have water for that?
Yeah, we always get water, like, you know, there was jerry cans of water, there was a Bowser thing, like, you know, I suppose a bit bigger than that fireplace, about this long, about from there, it was on wheels, and that, there was always water, but there was plenty of water from the engine, like, and they put purifying tablets in.
But what about washing and shaving? Yeah,
have a wash or a shave when you could, sort of thing. And one guy went sick with his shoulders, he had sores on his shoulders, and they found out that he hadn't had a bath or a good wash, like, stripped down for about 6 months. And so they ripped us all out and took us to an American place, and we went in one tent and took everything off, stripped naked, everything was thrown out into a hole outside the tent, there was a big hole in the wall. Then we walked through another bit and had a shower. And
was this a mobile shower unit?
Yeah, run by the Americans, and we had got clean clothing, but it was all American clothing, and we then got, they give us donuts and coffee. The Yanks, like, round donuts, and you can have as many as you like. Imagine, we all give that a good bashing. But then as soon as we got back in the British Army, see, we really had American clothing on us. You can get that off, we'll get your clothing, you ain't Yanks, like, you're not GIs. And we had a good scrub then, like, you know.